This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Accelerate your day with today's business headlines with Volvo Cars.
BFM 89.9, I'm Shohat Kutin. With me, Joyce Goh and Tan Chung Han with the top business stories of the day. And we start off with a story from Bloomberg. SoftBank is considering seeking a valuation of about $90 billion US dollars for its domestic wireless business in a planned IPO.
Yeah, so this is breaking news here, folks. They are looking to sell a third of that business. So that should raise about $30 billion US dollars, which in turn would value SoftBank as a whole at $90 billion US dollars. Now, if this goes through, this would make it the biggest ever IPO, dwarfing the Alibaba's IPO, which came in the mid-20s, 20 billion or so.
Yeah, discussions are still preliminary and the final valuation will depend on investors' feedback. Looking at SoftBank's stock price, it rose as much as 6% in Tokyo. I think this is the biggest intraday increase since July. And when Bloomberg tried to reach them, a rep from SoftBank declined to comment.
Yeah, so looking at some live prices right now, SoftBank is trading at 9,984 yen. That's a gain of 5.8%. This builds on top of the 2.2% gain that they saw yesterday. Also note that this news comes on the back of SoftBank reporting their first quarter operating profit rising by almost 50% to 715 billion yen. This on the back of investment gains from its Vision Fund and also the sale of its ARM's Chinese unit. So you got strong earnings there, and now further propelled by this news of this possible IPO. Again, if it happens, set to be the biggest ever IPO.
Yeah, I guess the last time we had such a large IPO would be Alibaba when it made its debut in 2014, right? That's $25 billion US dollars there. Okay. Let's have a look at the business stories that are very important. Of course, the Auditor General's report, it's come out. And of course, you know, it's been for some years now an attempt to have a deeper look at the competence and cleanliness, as it were, of governance in this country.
Yeah, so you have some data coming out from that. Well, look at 7 of 25 ministries achieve excellent results in their financial management. And this is according to Auditor General Tan Sri Dr. Madiha Mohamad. And she said that 16 ministries achieve good levels and 2 achieve satisfactory levels.
Yeah, so if you take a closer look at the Auditor General's report, I'm looking specifically at chart 3.2. So you've got two ministries. Two ministries who do their own accounts or mengakau sendiri. You've got the KKM and also the Prime Minister's Department that actually came in with 5 stars. That's what the Auditor General has in the report. 5 stars, you get a blue mark there. That translates to a score of over 90. Oddly enough, the MOF, well, maybe no surprise to some, they miss that 90 mark. So they're coming at 89.7. So that puts them in the green or good category, but not quite excellent. You want to think that the MOF would be in the excellent category, but obviously we know, given all the scandals and leakages that happened with the previous administration, they missed out on the excellent rating there.
Well, the report also revealed that more than 90% of loans raised by federal government in 2017 to finance development expenditure were reportedly at high borrowing cost. And actual development expenditure was 7% higher on year to about 45 billion ringgit. And, you know, the report also showed that the government added about 130 billion ringgit in new borrowings last year. That's about 29% more than previous year.
All right.
I wonder about the Auditor General's department, though. It's often seen as a bastion of integrity, despite being under the Barisan National government, right? That they continue to have quite the public perception that they were well known for their integrity. And of course, former Auditor General Tan Sri Amrin Buang, also personally, I think, seen as somebody of integrity. He was recently, I believe, set to head a special investigation panel. And I wondered to what extent the Auditor General's department itself will be audited and who will look at how it's been operating all these years, despite the public very positive public perceptions of the department.
Sure. You know, well, you know, given the contents of the report, at least the 2017 report that we just got yesterday, you know, on one hand, while you have these excellent ratings, they are not shying away from pointing out the deficiencies or the weaknesses that were evident in how the government went about its financial business last year. And we'll get into more of those details in just a bit. But coming back to what some papers had highlighted and what you mentioned earlier, Joyce, about the 90% of those loans that had high interest costs. Here's the context here, and well, I spent a bit of time reading some parts of that 217-page long report. That was actually in relation to some underspending. So what they were saying was, if I'm interpreting it correctly, given my limited comprehension of the Malay language, you know, the idea was that, look, the government, the previous government had raised all these loans that incurs interest and whatnot. And there were at least three ministries that underspent the funds allocated to them, so less than 50%. So, you know, what I'm getting is that they're telling them, well, if that had been allocated to you as development funds, you want to spend it. Why? Because you, A, you're incurring that high interest cost, and also B, so that you actually have those real multiplier effects in the economy. So you should spend it.
So yeah, to look into how much higher, I mean, because you're saying it's high borrowing costs, how high is that? And whether they can restructure the loan. I mean, you can go and talk about, you know, if they're not using the funds, they can go and talk to the bank or whoever is giving them funding to refinance. Well, I mean, who knows? That's one of the things that they could explore. Not sure. We have to analyze it further.
Yeah, well, actually, I shared that same question as well. And I tried to scan through the Auditor General's report to see, you know, what actually constitutes high borrowing costs, you know, so I really couldn't find the number. If you can, well, you can always download that full report from audit.gov.my. You know, feel free to let us know as well, because I was not able to read all 217 pages there.
Well, you know, I think this is one of the problems, is just too much detail in some respects for the, you know, ordinary citizen. Maybe an executive summary with, you know, several headings like incompetent or inefficiencies or corruption or criminal acts. That, if you'd actually disaggregated all those stories and put them under these categories, it would be more interesting. I don't remember in recent times whether any criminal action has been taken against anybody in government following an Auditor General's report.
Okay, now to be fair to the Auditor General's report, there are sections that are highlighted in bold, you know, where they give their opinion, and there is a runkosan, a summary at the end of those 217 pages.
And also recommendations, right?
Yeah, correct.
Over 160 recommendations in all. Now, okay, let's turn our attentions to Penang and the plans for a low-cost carrier terminal there. Apparently, it's about to take off.
Yeah, this is to cope with the increasing number of air passengers to Penang. I mean, it's also in, they're looking at, I think these are talks between AirAsia and MEHB on the proposed project. And Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng has said that discussions have been positive so far, and they are looking at a different framework based on the public-private partnership.
Yeah, because as it is, the PIA apparently is bursting at the seams already. They can handle, I think, about 6.5-7 million, and they're already there at 6.5-7 million. That's passengers per year, I believe. Now, that is in line with a broader trend across Malaysian airports. You know, for June, for example, you have seen passenger numbers actually grow 9.7% on year. So this is for Malaysia airports as a whole. So that translates to just under 8.4 million passengers, but that's up from about 7.6 million that they saw in June of 2017.
I think in 2017, about the Penang International Airport saw about 7 million passengers, and the capacity is 6.5 million, over capacity there. And in April 2018, then Penang Chief Minister Lim Guan Eng has said that the first 3 months of 2018, passenger traffic at the airport was already nearly 2 million. So 2 million times 4, that's about 8 million. So Penang is the place to be.
Well, I don't know about that because, hey, Klang has got equanimity
for today, Port Klang. Yeah. For today only.
You build an airport over there, fly into Klang, go check out equanimity.
Yeah. I think it has a helipad. I think the equanimity has a helipad.
There we go. Yeah,
okay. Thank you so much for all your suggestions about what we can do with equanimity. I believe the plan is ultimately to sell it to the highest bidder and have those monies returned to the public coffers. Okay, now on a more serious note, what else do we have in terms of tourism? Because it's tourism, of course, much implicated in the story of air travel. According to Tourism, Arts and Culture Deputy Minister Mohammad Bakhtiar Wan Chik, the government has no plan to review the 10 ringgit per room per night tourism tax applies to foreign tourists. Based on feedback received by the ministry, there are no complaints from foreign tourists regarding the tax.
Yeah, you recall that this tourism tax was implemented on September 1st of 2017. So we are just about to celebrate its one-year anniversary. Well, celebrate is subjective, I guess. Here in Malaysia, again, is the rollout of the tourism tax. You recall, in the lead-up to September 1st, 2017, there was plenty of pushback, right?
Yeah.
Not just from hotel operators, about how they have to incur the cost for collecting this tourism tax and how they were perhaps not ready for this and this could dampen the tourist arrivals in Malaysia. Well, here we are almost a year on. Looks like it hasn't really dampened the number of tourists coming to our shores because it translates to about, $2.50 US, right? So perhaps not a sizable chunk there for those coming and visiting us.
I think, Han, at that time also, there was also a lot of the conversation on this tax would be on hotels, right? What about Airbnbs,
right?
And all these homestays, they don't have to charge it, and then people might end up staying in these Airbnbs as opposed to hotels. But yeah, you can see demand is there. It depends on which area, I guess, and what kind of tourists that we're getting.
Right, exactly. And then also zooming out to the broader fiscal agenda here. Look, because they have zero-rated GST, we have been on this tax holiday since June. The government has to. I mean, they can't afford to continue. Losing revenue, they got to prop up revenue somehow. So looks like the tourism tax, again, I'm not too sure about how much it actually contributes to the fiscal coffers, but according to the Tourism, Arts and Culture Deputy Minister Mohammad Bakhtiar, no plans to review this 10 ringgit per room per night tourism tax.
Fuel your business drive with the Volvo S90 T8 twin engine. So cost efficient, it makes good business sense. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.